Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here into hour number two on a Monday morning to kick off a new week on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. We continue to recap the Sunday slate around the National Football League. It is week number 15 in the NFL. Critically important games for playoff pictures in either conference. Maybe you've already earned a spot or clinched a divisional crown, but you are trying to hold on to a seed line to better your outlook for a deep postseason run. Certainly the case, DRS, for the Chiefs yesterday, but significant injuries around the NFL on a Sunday as well. A lot to get to here in this second hour before we even preview a Monday night doubleheader to end out week number 15.
Yeah, we got a good doubleheader tonight, which, again, more than one football game means a good doubleheader, even though really the teams playing, some of them leave a lot to be desired. But some action on this game, some good bets that we'll have, and we'll certainly go over those. But also, from yesterday's schedule, look, we are coming to three games, man. Where does it go? Like, we were just previewing week one, week two, week three. Yeah. It's nice weather out. Now we're almost at Christmas at this point. But now it starts to get fun because you see games that need teams that need games, teams that technically don't need games and want to move up their standings in the draft here for some of those certain players that we'll talk about it won Heisman trophies and where they fit in. So we got a lot of football to talk about. I love this month because why? December, cold weather, playoffs, and once the playoffs begin, along with the college football playoffs, yeah, that's good stuff.
The CFP, for the first time ever in the 12-team era, starts on Friday night in South Bend, where we might see some snow as well under the watchful eye of Touchdown Jesus on a Friday for an in-state showdown. But DRS, as we focus on the NFL in the Sunday slate week number 15, huge game yesterday in Cleveland. Perhaps not for both teams looking for a playoff spot, but for the Chiefs trying to maintain that number one overall seed in the AFC and perhaps prove to people around the National Football League that we are actually a good football team despite now being 13-1, because that is the record for the Chiefs. Yesterday, 21-7, the victory over the Browns. They cover as a 4.5-point favorite. The Chiefs now as a 6.5-point favorite or fewer this year, 5-2 against the spread. That's good. Finally, not a one-score game for KC. That's good. 14-point victory margin, largest of the year for Kansas City. That is also good. So what could be the issue? 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter with the Chiefs comfortably ahead by 2 touchdowns. Fourth and short, Patrick Mahomes trying to look to extend the play and keep the drive alive is kind of sandwiched between a couple of Browns defenders, gets up and limps off the field with what the Chiefs are calling a high ankle injury. We'll have the Pro Football Doc here on the show later on in our third hour. But DRS, outside of a 14-point win for KC, maintaining that 2-game lead for the number one seed in the AFC with just 3 weeks remaining, the biggest story in the NFL right now, the high ankle injury to Patrick Mahomes.
And that's going to be a massive news because why? Yes, they are the best team in football right now, record-wise. Yes, they would seemingly seem to actually get that number one overall seed with maybe some rest even in week 18 heading into the playoffs where you get that rest in round number one. But now we take a look at Patrick Mahomes, who yesterday, this is the, like, I like what Kansas City does. This might have been one of their better performances. Windy, rainy conditions on the road. You figure Jameis Winston might have some magic out there, and it certainly didn't work out that way. The defense of Steve Spagnuolo really put the screws to Jameis Winston, multiple turnovers. They had this game wrapped up early on. Once they got a 14-0 in that weather, I didn't think there was any way that Cleveland was coming back. So good win by them, yeah. But now you start to look because we know how tough Patrick Mahomes is. He's played through a lot of injuries, and he stood in the pocket and performed, yeah. And said, you know what? I can barely move, but at least if I'm out there, it's better than me not being out there. You look at their next three games, and maybe if you could have changed the schedule around by saying, okay, Texans would be week 18 where they'd have everything wrapped up because they won the division, but they can't really get a higher seed, right. If you go that route, you play them next week. The Texans are going to give you the best punch they have. Then you're going on the road against the Steelers, who are still at that time fighting either A, for the top overall seed if they smell blood in the water from Kansas City, or B, just trying to win the division over the Baltimore Ravens. And then you get the Broncos in the final game of the year, which you might be needing for the Broncos just to secure that final spot or final two spots to get into the playoff. If you're telling me Patrick Mahomes might be down the next two games, theoretically, they could probably lose both of those football games going up against those teams. Yeah. And now you're saying, do we just rest him in week 18, even if we have a chance to still get the number one overall seed because we just want Patrick Mahomes to be 100% healthy when he gets to the playoffs?
For sure.
Tough injury, but they have a little bit of a blanket, and can Carson Wentz step up? But we'll find out a little bit more today, hopefully, on that when that MRI gets back in the prognosis, yeah. Of when we think he can play.
NDRS, if Patrick Mahomes in a high ankle sprain almost sounds like deja vu, of course, in that opening round divisional game for KC two postseasons ago against Jacksonville, Patrick Mahomes was injured late in the opening half, missed the remainder of that game against the Jags. I believe it was the great one, Chad Henne, as their backup quarterback at the time, led KC to a win. Mahomes returned for the AFC Championship game. They won that. They played in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, winning their second Lombardi Trophy in the Mahomes tenure. You mentioned, what are we going to hear out of Kansas City in the next 24 to 48 hours? This was the head ball coach, Andy Reid, after the Chiefs win yesterday in Cleveland.
Well, it's not broken. That's what I can tell. I mean, I just got off the field, so you know that, Sam. So I'm going to just see how it goes. I mean, it'll literally be day to day as we go forward. I don't know how much swelling he has or any of that, so... or what will come, you know, from now till whenever. So,
how much did you decision to take him out was game situation versus not being able to actually go back in?
He probably could have gone back in. He wanted to fight about it, but we've got a good support there behind him with Carson, and it was good to get him a few reps in there too, and let our guys hear that snap count in case he has to go. So.
We'll never know if the game was up in the air, if Patrick Mahomes could have actually gone back in again. There was only 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs were ahead by two touchdowns. But the prognosis is not great for the ankle injury. It is also not great for Kansas City in terms of their updated odds outlook. Buffalo is the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo is the favorite to win the AFC now. These two teams have gone back and forth the last few weeks, but we still have a win total for the Chiefs at 14.5. They are a 13-1 team with 3 weeks remaining, despite the injury to Mahomes. Still the hefty favorite at -195 with a two-game advantage as of this moment to win the AFC's number one seed. Of course, Buffalo would have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker if it came down to that. And Donnie, when you look at the injury timeline for Mahomes, it's also the schedule timeline for KC. Short week, Saturday game in Houston. Super short week following Wednesday, Christmas, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. By the way, they do host Houston this upcoming Sunday, already booked as a 2.5-point home underdog. Then they end the year in Mile High against the Broncos. Denver might need it for playoff security. What will the Chiefs have at stake in that game? A lot of uncertainty around the high ankle injury to Patrick Mahomes.
And also keep in mind, too, looking at the schedule, right? If Texans and Kansas City is a Saturday 1 o'clock game. So you don't need to get that full week of rest for Patrick Mahomes, even if he wants to try and get ready to play on that short week. You saw some of those numbers on the graphic, which there's still a heavy favorite to get that number one overall seed. But I got to tell you, I'm not a big believer in the Chiefs overall, because I do think on any given Sunday they can lose. But the biggest benefit was them having the number one overall seed. But 14 and a half wins, there's a legitimate chance they get beat by the Texans this weekend. Even if they do win that game to get the 14 at the Steelers, at the Broncos, they might lose those games anyway, Patrick Mahomes healthy or not at this point. So that's not something I'm really wanting to buy into, even the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship. The Chiefs are good. They're even better at home when Patrick Mahomes is healthy. And a lot of these are now question marks at this point. So for me, Ben, I'm not buying on the Kansas City Chiefs saying, ooh, now actually with the drop, even if they won, you're looking at the injury. Now you can get some, you know, plus money or CLV, as we like to say it, back on it. I'm not buying the Chiefs. I'm not.
No doubt about it. KC's booked as a 2.5-point home dog this week against Houston. It's a difficult schedule the rest of the way. And it's not like they have 4 weeks off for Mahomes to rest up. More from Sunday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We do want to just make one final point about a very interesting price on Kansas City still available here down the final 3 weeks of this regular season, of course, with the injury uncertainty now around Patrick Mahomes. We'll see if Mahomes plays this week. I would not say it looks overly favorable, especially because KC is getting 2.5 points as a home underdog hosting Houston on a short week early on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Donnie, we just told you the price for Kansas City to win the AFC's number one seed, -195. KC would have to win two of their final three because they have the Buffalo Bills behind them, and Buffalo more than likely is going to end the year 14-3. Why do I say that? Buffalo plays the Patriots twice in their final three games and hosts the New York Jets. Buffalo is a 14.5-point home favorite against New England on Sunday. Assuming the odds makers are correct, and Buffalo, a hefty favorite in their final three, is 14-3, KC would need to win two of their final three, because if they end the year at 14-3, same record as Buffalo, the Bills have the head-to-head tiebreaker advantage. I just bet the Bills at +160 to be that one seed, a critically important position within the AFC playoff picture.
No, it's huge. And also, when you take a look at, yes, we've handled our business before against good teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about the Buffalo Bills and the momentum that they have, where you could possibly say that they're playing, not the Chiefs, excuse me, the Bills are playing their best football. The Patriots should be a layup. The Jets, I understand, hey, they had a great win against Jacksonville. Stop the madness. They, again, were in one of those close games versus a team you probably shouldn't even have been a close game with, and the Patriots to end it. You can't ask for a better three-game set, which two of those games are at home, and the Patriots in that final game, obviously we know they're not playing for anything either. So it looks like the Buffalo Bills are on the upswing. Now, also, we did see last year where the Buffalo Bills heading into the playoffs had the Chiefs at home and couldn't squeeze them out. But what version of the Chiefs are we actually going to get this year could be a difference. But for me, again, the original point, Kansas City, I'm not buying them here. And I don't really know who's going to really want to step in front of the Buffalo Bills the way they're playing football. It looks like the way they're possibly going to close the season out with that schedule.
And again, it is not like in the final 3 weeks, the Chiefs are playing on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, each and every one. They are playing on Saturday this week. Short week to get ready for the Texans. How much will Houston need trying to improve its seed line after winning the AFC South already? That remains to be seen. A road trip on a short week on a Wednesday to play the Steelers on Christmas Day, even with a healthy Mahomes, that game is probably a pick'em in the Steel City. And then a road trip to Denver. We'll see what the Broncos need at that time. Again, I think the number on Buffalo at +160 to be the one seed in the AFC is a desirable price at this moment. The Baltimore Ravens, DRS, right now in a wild card spot within the AFC, in that top wild card spot, but not done just yet in the AFC North, with a comfortable win yesterday, as we expected, in MetLife, 35-14. The Flock were booked as a 16. 16.5-point favorite on the road against the Giants, the largest spread this year, and Baltimore covered that number, winning by 21. 5 touchdown passes for Lamar Jackson, an MVP caliber day. If Josh Allen was not playing, if Lamar had not won the MVP for a second time in his career last year, it might be a more competitive race, but still a really solid performance out of the Ravens, Donnie, when we expected them to win big.
Yeah, we did expect them to win this football game. The only question was, were they going to win it by 17-plus points to cover? Because by game time, that number was 17 and 17.5 at some outlets. And you see, Lamar Jackson, 21-25, 295 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and almost a perfect passer rating of 154.6. Also, you know what's interesting about this game? They scored 35 points without a rushing touchdown, which means Derrick Henry, you probably thought would go nuts. Didn't need him to. Didn't even need him in the second half. They were up by so many points here. He finishes with 14 for 67, but good to see Rashad Bateman, 3 for 80, getting back into the fold after missing a week or two there with injuries. The Ravens are one of those teams where you see that record 8-5, but that doesn't match up because nobody's going to get to the playoffs, even if they don't win that division. They go, whew, thank goodness it's the Ravens we play this week. They can win in any environment because they have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You want to play them in cold weather and snow? Perfect outcome. You want to play them in a dome? You see these type of games where Lamar Jackson can throw for 5 touchdown passes when he gets the chances to do so. But also, we do spend a lot of time talking about the Ravens. How about those Giants now? 2-12 on the season, 0-8 at home. There is no way that that coaching staff and general manager position can sustain it for the all season. But I tell you this right now, as an Eagles fan, John Mara, stay the course, have patience. Try to turn this team into like the Steelers. Keep your coach around for 10 to 15 years because we're getting this type of productivity out of that coaching staff as an Eagle fan, as a Commanders fan, as a Cowboys fan. Make them all come back and say it wasn't their fault. I hope you do that.
DRS, I thought entering this year, the Giants had a pretty poor win total at 6.5. We knew the Daniel Jones questions for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the two guys that were not there when Danny Dimes or Saquon Barkley were drafted. But the two guys that paid Daniel Jones and did not pay Saquon Barkley. To see the year play out the way it has for the Giants, nobody should survive that. Nobody should sustain a position after this. The Giants have been booked as an underdog in 29 of 31 games since the start of last year after they had pulled off the road upset to win a playoff game in 2022. They are now 12-16-1 against the spread in those 29 games. Tommy DeVito did not play the second half yesterday in East Rutherford. It was Tim Boyle. There is no life for this Giants team. It is time to make a move. We'll see if New York does that. And I don't think the Mara family cares very much for Joe Shane after what we saw with the cameras rolling in the offseason Hard Knocks edition. Really important game, Donnie, on Sunday. It is our marquee matchup maybe of the weekend as Baltimore will host the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens are a 6.5-point home favorite trying to equalize against the Steelers who beat the Ravens in a low-scoring game 18-16 a few weekends ago at home at Acrisure. Right now, the Steelers, because of the head-to-head and because of the game advantage, are a -170 favorite to win the division. I think in this commercial break, I'm about to bet the Ravens at +140 to win the AFC North.
It does make some sense. And also, the key indicator, you can pass against the Baltimore Ravens. But if George Pickens isn't there, who the hell are you passing to? It certainly isn't Mike Williams. My goodness, where's that guy been? Milk carton.
Pat Freiermuth, though. The rest of the Sunday scores from yesterday. Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The rest of the scores from Sunday in Week 15 around the NFL live right here on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. What an exciting game we got in New Orleans that we perhaps were not expecting between the Commanders and the Saints. Washington fresh off a bye, more than a touchdown favorite on the road in the Big Easy, winning comfortably for most of that game. Jake Haener got the start for the Saints with the injury to Derek Carr. Haener was benched. Enter the rookie Spencer Rattler, who made it quite a game. In fact, as time expired, in the final play of regulation, it was Rattler with a one-yard touchdown pass to Foster Moreau to make it 20-19. Darren the Rizzler Rizzy decides we're not playing for stinking OT at home. We're going for two. Unfortunately, the conversion try was not successful. Washington holds on for a 20-19 win in the Big Easy. The Saints do cover as a 7.5-point home dog.
Yeah, but and also, I understand at the end of the season, the Saints technically were still in it here, let's just say, to win their division. Jay Kaner is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. We saw him earlier this season. No. He just can't play. If Rattler starts from jump, they probably win that game. Now, again, they lost. It was 2019. It was close. The Commanders were just looking for the victory, and they got that. But also, that doesn't underscore what the referees were doing in this game multiple times, messing up the clock, which included that final play that got down to the goal line where the clock froze, and they were able to get the spike off here because that game should have ended. Then they had the press pool at the end of the game, and the ref's like, yeah, what do you want me to do? The game should have been over, but we can't do that, and it can't even be reviewed at that point. That is wild. In this type of atmosphere, in this type of league, where you can stop it and review multiple things, but when you mess up the clock and admit it and know it, and then you go, well, we can't do anything about it now, was ridiculous here. So yeah. Washington theoretically should have won that game and covered that game and almost lost the game and didn't cover. So if you had a betting ticket in your pocket on Washington and you lost because, yeah, we stopped the clock, we don't know why we did, the game should have been over, man, you should have a class action lawsuit ready to get your money back. Come on.
DRS, you know what we do for the pick six on Fridays. I had my part of the two-leg six-point teaser, Commanders minus 1.5. Basically a pick, but now I lose by the hook because of what Sean Hockley, the head ref, described yesterday as user error, but nothing that can be done to undo user error, despite the fact that we have 19 cameras. We go to replay review for nothing. We have replay assist automatically now, and nothing can be done. First win of any of the nine for the Commanders this year. Washington is 9-5. They won a game, but did not cover the number. Mm-hmm. Big game for the Cardinals yesterday, DRS, to snap their slide. They snap their three-game skid, get back into the win column. They are now an even 500, 7-7, not out of that NFC West title chase. They beat the Patriots at home 30-17. They cover as a 6.5-point home favorite. Total of 46.5 does go over. The Patriots are playing in some games that have featured some points this season, over in 7 of the last 9 for New England.
Yeah, no, and by the way, the Arizona Cardinals, good to see. Hey, James Conner, 16 for 110, 2 touchdowns. Love to see it. And the guy that every single week shows up, not only is a target monster, but also performance-wise, Trey McBride, 9 for 87. Once again, we talk about this tight end every week, one of those guys that's not on the superstar level because he's not a good player. It's just because he plays in Arizona, you don't get to see him all that much. Good win, and now the Cardinals, once again, look like their season was off the rails, back in it, because teams like Seattle can't win football games to run away with that division, and away you go with 3 left to play.
Arizona will play LA in SoFi, that being the Rams, in week 17. The Cardinals did win the first matchup between the two way back in week number 2 earlier this season. Not done yet. Good day for James Conner on the ground, 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. We'll finish off the Sunday slate on the other side. But Donnie, we talked about the teams at 6-8. That really are on the outside looking in at the playoff chase. The wild card almost feels set within the AFC. Mm-hmm. Do the Bengals have life? 37-27, the victory for Cincy on the road in Nashville. They cover as a 6.5-point road favorite. Of course, a total of 46 and a hook does sky over. Wild game. 10 total turnovers between the two sides. But Joe Burrow, once again, throws for 3 touchdowns, 6th consecutive game with at least 3 passing scores, 4th consecutive game with exactly 3. The Bengals are 6-8. Is there optimism in Cincinnati?
I mean, you have to have optimism if there's always a chance for you to do something here, but also sooner than later, that defense is going to let them down. But I will say this. If you are the Tennessee Titans, you better not bench Will Levis the last 3 games, because there are 3 losses you absolutely have to have to move on from Will Levis.
We'll talk more about Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is there life for the Bengals after beating the Tennessee Titans as they should yesterday in Nashville by double digits, 37-27? DRS, when this season is defined for Cincy, you will not be able to place any blame or point any fingers at Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. 33 touchdown passes leads the National Football League. Nobody else even has 30 plus at this moment. Six consecutive games with at least three passing scores. And frankly, he has had to because the Bengals defense has not been very good. In a game where the Titans had six turnovers, Tennessee still scored 27 points. I have no idea how that even happens. A total of 46.5 does go over. The weird thing about the Bengals, they've been elite covering numbers on the road. They're 7-1 against the spread away from home. They are 5-0, perfect against the number as a road favorite this year. And Donnie, they are two games back of the Chargers for the final wild card spot within the AFC. So maybe there is life. Except the Bengals are not just two games back. They're really three because they lost to the Chargers just a few Sunday nights ago.
Yes, and they're you didn't expect them. And even if you're looking at the end of the schedule, it's like, hey, can they win games? Sure they can. But you know that defense is going to bite them with the worst possible time, give up 40 points, and Joe Burrow's going to be like, hey, look, I scored 38, and it wasn't enough for a victory at this point. It's just one of those lost cause seasons, which also, if we can turn this into the offseason, ooh, I love this chatter, which now we're saying like, hey, we're going to fight to bring T. Higgins back. No, you're not, Joe. You had that chance the last 2 years to fight for T. Higgins and his new contract. They tagged him because he's gone at the end of the year. Do you actually think Mike Brown now goes like, oh, you know what? I don't want to pay anybody, but now I'm going to pay T. Higgins like a top 10 wide receiver and then turn around and pay the most expensive wide receiver contract in the history of football to Ja'Marr Chase? We'd be lucky to get one of those two back, Joe Burrow, let alone both of those for the offseason. So tough times ahead for the Bengals, even in a tough season that they've had.
The Bengals over in six of their previous seven, over in 10 of 14 games this year. Here's how Cincy gets into the playoffs. They went out and they need either the Chargers or the Broncos to lose out. Cincy could help the Broncos lose out because they play in Cincinnati week 17, but again, a very hefty climb to make for Cincinnati. When you look at the Titans, 3-11 now, without a single cover in any of their 11 losses. Will Levis, 8 of 12 yesterday for 89 yards, 3 interceptions, and a fumble. DRS, this guy was the second pick of the second round 2 Aprils ago. If you listen to anything around that time leading up to the NFL draft, you know that myself, Joe's Lisi's, he was not all too pleased with the idea that Will Levis could be a top five or number one overall pick. I never believed this guy was capable of being a starting quarterback in the National Football League. We are starting to see that here. I don't know what the Titans do moving forward. I know they better look for a quarterback in this upcoming April's draft, but they have invested a lot into the QB position the last few years.
Like sometimes you take a look at Anthony Richardson and be like, yeah, fast, we might be able to make him. He's a little bit off target, but we see some glimpses. We've never once ever seen a glimpse of Will Levis other than throwing interceptions or pick sixes to the other team. Like sometimes I just wonder, and every handicap I set on Pro Football Today to go, well, you know Will Levis is going to throw at least one touchdown pass the other way. Let's see if they can possibly cover the spread. You saw that game, and a lot of people were backing the plus fives, the plus five and a halves, the plus six for the Titans, because it makes sense. If you could just have a stable running game and a quarterback that doesn't throw a turnover, interception, slash fumble on every other drive, you can hang around Cincinnati because everybody does that here. But you can't enter games going like, okay, I know I'm going to get three turnovers out of my quarterback. Let's see if we can win this anyway. But as I said before the commercial break, Titans, don't bench Will Levis. Your goal is to not win again. Will Levis will ensure you don't win any football games the rest of the season. He's not a, but quite frankly, Ben, you said, well, he's just young. He's got to learn. He's not even a backup quarterback. Like a backup quarterback is supposed to kind of be like, okay, let's calm the storm here. I'm going to hand the football off. I'm going to hit the 5 yard out. We're going to try to hang in this football game with defense. He can't do that. He's a turnover machine, which is the worst part of any quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely so. I don't think it's going to last for Will Levis in Tennessee. Take advantage of the residual checks on the Mayo Ovations and all those commercials that you have done this year, because those are also drying up pretty quick. Yesterday, DRS snapped a 33-game streak for the Carolina Panthers, booked as an underdog, dating back to the final month of the 2022 NFL season. Booked as a favorite with expectation at home against the Cowboys. Could the Panthers make good on the odds optimism? No, the Cowboys win outright big 30-14 as a 2.5-point road dog behind three passing touchdowns from Cooper Rush and 116 yards and a score out of CeeDee Lamb, snapping a 5-game cover streak for Carolina as well. Tough to see them booked as a favorite and squander at least a little bit of expectation.
Yeah, I bet Micah Parsons to get a sack on Monday night's game. He was all over the place but couldn't get a sack. So what does he do the next week? Picks up two sacks here, and away they go. Awesome. Now, for me, I thought the Carolina Panthers, reading that line, it was a Carolina day. Certainly was. Dallas was the better football team. And by the way, three great touchdown passes out of Cooper Rush. The final two were some things of beauty out there for a passer rating of 119. But for me, it was a Picasso performance, because yesterday, Ben, on the show, My Morning Crunch, 200 passing yards or more for Bryce Young. Bang, 219. How about 50.5 receiving yards or more out of Adam Thielen? He finishes with 51. Good a game as you're going to get, man. Loved what I saw.
Paint by numbers, Donnie Wrightside. The only game yesterday on Sunday that featured a matchup of two teams already mathematically out of playoff contention, it was in Jacksonville between the Jags and the Jets. It's actually a pretty good game. The New York Jets win 32-25, covering as a 3.5-point road favorite in Duval. Total of 41.5 does sky over. Vintage for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, just a little bit too late. 289 yards, three touchdowns from Aaron, a buck 98 and two scores to Davante Adams. Congrats to the New York Jets, who are 4-10, still have already booked a season with a losing record and missing out on the playoffs for a 14th consecutive year.
But you do want to watch the Jets down the stretch, because Aaron Rodgers is capable and understands, if I play well down the stretch, they're going to buy in on me once again. Wait till you see when we get a full year here, and it's going to be fool's gold again. Aaron Rodgers actually led the Jets yesterday in rushing yards and passing yards. How does that actually happen? But he did throw an absolute laser beam to win that football game, at all intents and purposes, over the middle to get them back into it. And by the way, another one of my morning crunch plays yesterday, Ben, the Jets to just record a rushing touchdown in that game, dead and buried until you get tackled at the 1 yard line and rush it in from the one for Breece Hall. Fantastic way it played out. But I'm telling you right now, watch out for the Jets team totals and the way they play, because Aaron Rodgers is going to force feed the football to his two wide receivers and claim, like, boy, did you see how we played those final four games down the stretch? Let's get to the offseason. And Woody Johnson, he's going to buy back in.
Also, Donnie, speaking of that final rushing touchdown for Breece Hall, asinine work out of Jeff Ulbrich as the interim head coach. They could have pretty much taken the clock down to under 20 seconds, kicked a chip shot field goal to basically give the Jags no time left whatsoever. Hey, they picked off Mac Jones for a second time to seal that victory. Quickly from Sunday to Saturday, the 125th Army-Navy game. And for just the third time in the last 9 years, Navy beats Army, the midshipmen winning outright as a 6.5-point underdog in Landover over number 22 Army, that had 11 wins and a conference championship entering this matchup at Northwest Stadium. Blake Horvath outdueling Bryson Daly. Daly was the guy that finished sixth out of the top 10 in the Heisman Trophy voting, the exchange of those prisoners at the beginning. Prisoners, the people that spend a semester at the opposing campus. It was Blake Horvath, though, DRS. The Naval Academy quarterback, 204 yards on the ground, two scores, 107 passing yards, and two passing touchdowns as well.
Yeah, he was really good in that game. And by the way, like, you know, it's automatic Daly's going to score a touchdown. He was minus 400 anytime touchdown at FanDuel. But you know what? I'm going to lay the 400 to win 100. Thank God I did not do that. He didn't. He threw a touchdown, didn't run for it.
Minus 470 to hit Pater. More from Saturday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We round out the football weekend before we get you set for a Monday night doubleheader to end out week 15 live on this Monday on the Early Line. Navy beats Army in the 125th all-time meeting on Saturday. Second largest outright upset in the Army-Navy game in at least the last 15 years, DRS, as the Mids win outright to sing second as a 6.5-point underdog. Part of the pageantry and tradition of the first Saturday following conference championship weekend in the sport ends in the Big Apple in New York City for a Heisman Trophy ceremony. In Colorado's two-way superstar, Travis Hunter makes history, winning the Heisman Trophy as well. He was minus 9,000 entering this weekend. He finishes in front of Boise's Ashton Genty. It was the closest margin in the Heisman Trophy race since 2009, which goes to show how historic it was. Both were worthy recipients. Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy, deservedly so.
Yeah, both have bright futures, no doubt about it. And it was a razor-thin margin compared to most people looking at it, saying, look, Genty was equally as good, but talked about it way back, Ben, when that viral tweet went out with Boise. It wasn't really a shot against the coach, more of sarcasm, where it's like he should be fired, but also understand what the game would be. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, and I know you'll never find out because the Heisman Trophy's already been voted for and Travis Hunter got right. It. But I'm telling you, if we had 26 carries for close to 500 yards and 6 touchdowns at a Genty in that Utah State game, he'd be the Heisman Trophy winner today because he would have had such headwinds from that performance where when you look back, his season was – he ran for 2,500 yards. Make it, let's just say, 2,800 yards. Make it 33 touchdowns here. Make it numbers that nobody's ever seen before and people would understand who this kid was. Now, you might say, like, oh, that's great. He had 14 yards per carry in that game. But I look at those games understanding the task. And if you flip it over to Colorado, how many times did you watch Colorado make sure that those targets were available for Travis Hunter to score touchdowns because of how important that would be on the end byline where it's like, okay, great DB, but what did he do on offense? Ooh, touchdown here, touchdown there. That matters at that point. I just wish Ginty's coach let him let it rip against Utah State, and he would have been the Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, the Utah State game was fine. He had nearly 300 yards in that one. You're thinking of the Portland State game, game number 3 for the Broncos against the FCS foe, where he sat out the second half. That's when he had the viral clip.
It was Utah State game we had the viral clip because he didn't play in the second half.
Crazy.
He had 13 carries, 186 yards, but didn't play in the second half and 3 touchdowns. I believe it was that game.
And that also happened against Portland State. I thought that was your argument against Portland State. Either way, I guess the argument is the same against an inferior opponent. Allow Ashton Genty to run it up. Listen, I had a Heisman Trophy ticket on Ashton Genty. I wished he won the award. In any other year, he should have won it. He had a very compelling case to win it this year, even in front of Travis Hunter. But Travis Hunter also made history. I don't think you can hate on either guy. The idea that snap count is the reason Hunter won the award is asinine. It is what you are doing to try to discredit his actual resume. Sixth most receiving yards at the FBS level, third highest among Power Conference wide receivers. 15 total touchdowns. He also had 14 receiving scores, second most in FBS college football, most among Power Conference wide receivers. He had 4 interceptions. He had 15 pass breakups, leading the Big 12. He had a 90.9% coverage grade from PFF. That was third best against FBS cornerbacks. He was historic on both sides. He was elite on both sides of the football. If you are hating on Travis Hunter, you are doing so to be a hater. You can still uplift Ashton Genty without discrediting the other. Ashton Genty, 132 yards away from passing Barry Sanders for the all-time single-season record. Here's where I get a little bit miffed. Barry Sanders did that, 2,628 yards back in 1988 in only 11 games. Ashton Genty would need 14 to surpass the great one. So if you want to include bowl games, Barry's real record is 2,850. Just so you know, in 12 games back in the 1988 season. I will say this, Ashton Gentry's numbers right now, the most we have ever seen through 13 games, that is second most all time, but passed both Melvin Gordon and Kevin White, who did that back in 07 for UCF. I'm just putting all this into context for the history of it all. Travis Hunter is your Heisman Trophy winner.
Absolutely. And by the way, I always liked the stories for Barry Sanders back in the day where Barry Switzer was the head coach of Oklahoma and Thurman Thomas was the starting running back for Oklahoma State, who was an unbelievable back in college and in the pros. And Switzer told his team, don't you dare hurt Thurman Thomas because I know what's coming behind him. And that's certainly going to be Barry Sanders entering the football game. It's amazing. We'll never see that again. And sometimes I'm glad like some of those records aren't broken because that's always the unicorn going, did you ever see the statistics that Barry Sanders put up in college football? And then saw what he did in the pros. Unbelievable stuff. But Ashton Gentry, a worthy opponent. He's going to be a great NFL running back. Nothing to be ashamed of. His team had a great football season heading into the college football playoff. I just wish for one half they let that kid spin and get close to 3,000 yards rushing. That would have been fun to see the final byline on who would have won the Heisman.
There is also the argument and a component of team success and individual success, which often has been a barometer of which you contend for a Heisman Trophy. Colorado had a great season. They were 9-3, well over expectation, making a bowl game for the first time in a full season since 2017. Boise State and Ashton Gentry won the Mountain West, will play in the college football playoff, earned an opening round bye. Ultimately, Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy. It was a great year, and it should be celebrated. I hate when we have two historically successful individuals, and we hate on the other and try to drag them down when we can celebrate both and know that it was a tight race. So that is the end of the college football regular season officially. Bowl season already started on Saturday. We've got plenty of bowl games this week. And we've got the college football playoff for the first time ever in the 12-team era starting on Friday night, including an on-campus game, DRS, in South Bend. I know you're so fired up for bowl season as well.
Exactly. Bowl season began, did it? Come on now. Fast forward bowl season. Get it out of here.
Bowl season is fantastic. DRS at South Alabama minus the points on Saturday. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yet another Monday Night Football doubleheader to end out a week, this time later on in the year than we have ever seen. It is Week 15 coming to a close tonight, with two football games on this Monday. First up in Minneapolis, a divisional duel between NFC North foes, the Vikings and the Bears. Then we'll head out to Las Vegas about 30 minutes later as the Raiders will welcome in the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons trying to snap a four-game skid and get back in a contention within the NFC South. Let's start, DRS, in the matchup in the NFC North. The Vikings, a full touchdown favorite at home against the Chicago Bears. The Bears do not have much left in the tank. Even the interim head coaching bump did not provide much of a spark last week in Santa Clara. Minnesota, an 11-2 football team that with a victory tonight would have the same exact record as the Detroit Lions. Now, the Lions won the first game between the two this year, but they will end the year, that being Minnesota and Detroit, against each other in week number 18. An incredibly significant game for the Vikings at home in the Twin Cities on this Monday night.
Yeah, you get that day after bounce. And what we mean by that is the Minnesota Vikings now can smell that blood in the water, saying, oh boy, here we go. Our chance now to overtake Detroit, win this division, and possibly now become the number one overall seed. That makes a lot of sense. You know what else makes a lot of sense? Brian Flores, a defensive mastermind, going up against a rookie quarterback and, for all intents and purposes, a rookie play caller and a rookie head coach at this point. And also the way Sam Darnold has really turned his season around over the past couple weeks, multiple touchdowns, it feels like is already on the board for him tonight with his great wide receivers on the outside, particularly with Justin Jefferson. So I see that 7-point number. I understand you look at that. It is the divisional game. The Bears can play you close, but I just look from that bump from yesterday. If you don't think the Minnesota Vikings and their fans are going to be wired for this game, we're doing it wrong here. I look for a strong performance from the Vikings, better coaching staff on both sides of the football, and better players. Yeah, this should be a Vikings night in Minnesota.
The Bears have, of course, lost seven straight. Thomas Brown has been the interim bump a couple of times, from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator now to interim head coach. Maybe we saw that interim bump in the home game against the Packers when he was made the OC. In this seven-game losing skid for Chicago, they are 2-4-1 against the spread, an underdog in all of these seven losses, or excuse me, in six of the seven L's. They're three times, Donnie, either covering or pushing the number, have all come against divisional foes. But the Bears have not been great away from Chicago this year by any means. Now, for Minnesota, a team that started off perfect, 5-0, last remaining undefeated team alongside Kansas City. Then the Vikings dropped two straight. They have now won six in a row. They had covered in all five of their first wins. They are 3-2-1 against the number in this recent six-game win streak. They have gone under in 8 of 11 victories, which DRS, when you look at the defense tonight, trying to stifle that Chicago Bears side, total 44.5. I would maybe lean under, trusting the Vikings to get it done. Are we going white helmets for Minnesota? We need that confirmation for the fashion police as well.
Looks nice. By the way, the helmet does look nice. And by the way, the Green Bay Packers won the battle of uniforms last night and won the football game. Look good, play good. That's an absolute fact of life tonight. If you're telling me we're getting those icy whites tonight from Minnesota at home against the Bears, it might be worth at least 3 to 3.5 points with a double-digit cover. Could be, Winter Warrior out here. Now, give me the ice. Give me the icy whites. Change that right now, too. No Winter Warrior. Stop.
DRS, first five-game win streak for Minnesota. Sam Darnold, 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Yeah. Then was not playing nearly as well through the two-game skid and even the first two wins after snapping that skid. He had 6 touchdowns to 6 INTs in a four-game span. Last four games, though, for Sam Darnold, multiple touchdown passes in all four without an interception, including 347 and 5 touchdowns last week against the Atlanta Falcons, as we compare those two QBs.
Yeah, stay hot. Stay hot, gang. Stay on that streak here. Justin Jefferson on one side finally eating and getting back into the end zone. We saw him get in twice. And Jordan Addison on the opposite side really feasting on, hey, you're not going to double cover my side. I'll beat one-on-one coverage all day. Solid tight end over the middle. Great running back in the backfield. All things line up for the Vikings. Have a good night tonight. But also on the other side, maybe you get that bounce because they just didn't show up against the 49ers. It's a divisional game. Yeah. It's primetime. You want to put your best effort out there. But as we said, you're going against a defensive coordinator that knows how to frustrate younger football players, particularly rookies, and you might get that tonight. So all Minnesota over here for me tonight, Ben.
When you look at Justin Jefferson this year, DRS, 81 receiving yards in 10 of the 12 games, or excuse me, 11 of the 13 games for the Vikings. More for Monday night when hour 3 starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.